You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. How are we doing? How's this section doing right here? Okay, how about this one right here? How about here? Okay. What about you guys up there? Nice. One person is really your cheerleader. That's awesome. Hey, if you're live streaming, welcome. Metro, let's make some noise for Metro. Can we do that? What is up, Metro? Hey, it's great for you guys to be back. It's the end of summer because all of you, not all of you, but most of you are back in summer. Welcome. Hey, how are you doing? You look great. You look great. Hey, this morning though, it is special, and I gotta give a shout out to actually someone in particular. It's his birthday today. It's a big one. It's a big one. Pastor Mike, who was up here, it's his birthday. There he is. There he is. Come on up here. Come on up here. So it's a big one. It's a big one. It's not 70. It's not 70.
It's not 70. It's not 70. Don't go there.
I'm not gonna go there. It's not 60. It's not 60.
It's not 40.
It's not 40. 30
Somewhere
years old. Yes. Hey, can we wish him a happy birthday? Let's do this. If you're live streaming, I want you to sing, okay? People might think you're weird, but you can do it. You can do it. Your kids already think you're weird. Okay, so live stream, I want you guys to sing Metro, obviously, and then you guys will hear 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike Smith. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Awesome, man. It's great to celebrate Pastor Mike. Those of you who do not know him, you should get to know him. Rarely do you find people that do ministry, do church work for so long, and that they're that sane. And so, yeah, and he's actually a nice guy because sometimes ministry can make you into not a nice person. So, man, love this guy. I point because he's actually walking by. But, hey, glad you're here. If you're a guest here, we are in a three-part, this is the third part of a conversation that we're having. It's a series called Home, and it's home. It's home. We're a family. That's where we're trying to go towards. That's the community that we're trying to build. But the big idea about this series really is about this notion that some of us have that when we find home, or we try to find community or a place to belong, we try to look for it. And this series is really about creating the community you want to belong to versus finding the community that you think you fit into. And so it's a big difference between that. And so every week we've been talking about what does God tell you to do, or what is the scriptures pointing us to, and what does it look like for us, even if we're starting our faith, what does it mean to be even a church person? And how do you find home? In a place like Charlotte, that we were all transient, a lot of people have moved here. What does home look like? And we all want to build home. And especially when a church home, it's hard because you keep looking for a church home. And I've talked to people, I know at Metro, I've talked to people so a lot that are looking for a church home. And obviously you guys are as well. Those of you watching online, you're doing the same thing. You're looking for a church home. And the thing is that it's hard. A place like Charlotte, I mean, great churches here. Some say it's the city of 1,000 churches. Have you heard that before? It's just a great place, a lot of great churches. And so it's hard to find a church. And so what I want you to do is, if you're a guest here first time, I want you to realize that more than just finding church or finding if Mosaic fits you, I want to challenge you to think this is the place where you actually get to create the church that you want to be a part of. Create the community that you want to be a part of. And so that's kind of like the idea, the big idea in terms of this conversation. So I want to go to part three, but before we do that, I want to show you a video. Those of you who follow me on Instagram, you probably watched it, especially if you watched my stories. Those of you who do not follow me on Instagram, shame on you. Shame on you. You should, because, I mean, if you want to go to heaven. No, just joking. Just joking. But I want to show you a cool experience. Let me just show it to you. It's cool.
It's awesome. Happening, people.
Here we go.
Go. Okay.
That's true.
Asher, you wanna? Yeah.
Asher's moving.
Who?
Holy fuck.
That was a little intense.
Oh my gosh.
We had to bleep some words.
Thanks. Video.
Is it a it is being videoed. Hey,
did you see the concussion?
You see it?
Blew that limb out of the tree.
Oh,
that
wow.
Dang.
That is...
I'm a real man. It didn't faze me at all.
What's he doing? I don't know what he's doing.
Welcome to the South.
Welcome to the South. Yes. Yes. I mean, where else can you do that, right? Where else can you do that but in, where were you, Anderson or Seneca, South Carolina? That's the place. It's awesome. Love it. You know, every time we go to visit Ashley's parents, we realize that we have entered into a different part of the world, like at least for me. And it's really fascinating for me for a lot of good reasons, but because it has such a distinct culture. You know, and culture is kind of like the ethos of a place where it is the it's the values, it's the views, and the actions of people. And everybody lives in a particular kind of culture. We've talked about this here in Mosaic. And in fact, churches have culture as well. Communities have culture. The north, the south, cities have culture. And it's really connected to the values, the views, and the actions of the people. In fact, culture in an organization is created directly by the values and the views and the actions of its leaders. And so we understand this. And so the reason why I think this is important and why I showed you the video, number one, because it's hilarious. Number two, though, is because I think that our lives, if we're going to build a certain kind of life, if we're going to build a certain kind of community, we have to understand make sure that our values, our views, and our actions are connected to what's really important to us. Because sometimes we do things that really, we don't think that we, on paper or in our minds, we don't think it's important, but we actually keep on doing them, and we actually say, you know, this is the kind of person I want to be, but you're not that person because your values, your views, and your actions, especially your actions, convey something else. And so when we talk about churches, when we talk about communities, and we talk about your life and my life, talk about your family, the kind of culture you're creating is connected to your views, to your values, and to the actions of the people in charge. It's really, truly important. And so when you begin to build anything, those ideas are very, very crucial to creating the community that you want to be a part of and creating the community either in your home, in your family, around your friends, in your workspace, if you're an entrepreneur. It is extremely important. And so as we talked about the scriptures the last couple of weeks, God has been speaking to a people group. We've been in Jeremiah 29, and it's a group of people who have found themselves in a place that they don't want to be. They've found themselves in a situation, a season, where they just don't, they have to feel like they have to start all over again. And I don't know if you're there this morning. Some of you might be. I've talked to some of you guys about the fact that there is a season that you're in. You can't really describe it, but it's a place that you feel like you have to start all over again. And so these conversations have been really hard, because if you have a heartbreak, if you have a loss of a relationship or a job or something that's really was truly important to you, you feel like you have to start all over again. And so Jeremiah 29 is a letter that is sent to and spoken to a group of people who have found themselves in a place where they feel like they have to start all over again. The good thing is that they can begin to create the culture and begin to create the lives that that God has for them, or they're connected to their values and views. And so it's in that context we find Jeremiah speaking. Now, I'll recap it for you. So what we've done the past couple of weeks, though, we've gone from verses 4 to about verses 10. And then this morning, I want to go through verse 11 and 14. So let me just catch up, those of you who've missed it. Basically, this is what God says. Verse 4, I'll start there. Jeremiah 29, verse 4 says, "This is what the Lord, the heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem." So this is the context. The context is that the group of people from Jerusalem have been exiled to Babylon, and they find themselves in a place they don't want to be. Verse 5, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the fruit they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so they may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare. Help me out with this one. For its welfare will do what? Will determine what? Your welfare. Your welfare. Let's try that one more time. That was kind of... Okay, so let's do... Pray, I'm praying. Pray for the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine what? Your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: do not let your prophets, fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you what? Telling you what? Lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for what? 70 years. We talked about that last week, didn't we? We talked about how we have to create our sacred circle when it comes to our friends and relationships. People who don't just speak to us and tell us things that we want to hear, but people who actually know what our lives are about, know what God's doing, and speaks truth into them. And we talked about how it is so just easy to tell people, hey, when you're going through a season, it's just gonna be a short season. You're gonna come out of it. But sometimes it's the true friends, it's the deep relationships, it's the people in the sacred circle that we talked about last week. Those are the ones who actually say, hey, I think it's gonna take a long time. And for their case, it was gonna take 70 years. So hopefully for us, it's not gonna take 70 years, right? But then he says, I will come and do for you the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. And so we ended there, this idea that God's going to bring us home again. Verse 11 through 14 is today's conversation. Verse 11 is one of the most popular verses in the scriptures. Verse 11 says this: for I, what? Know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Let's say it together. Metro, let's say it together. They are plans for what? Good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. We love this passage. This is the passage that we dwell on. But it keeps on going. Verse 12, it says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will what? You will what? You will what? You will what? You will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I've sent you, and bring you what? Home again to your own land. We love this, right? It's a great promise. It's a great promise. He started off kind of like, hey, it's planned to stay, pack a lunch, it's going to take a while. And then he ends it with like, hey, but God has a plan, it's going to happen, you're going to be brought back. And I love this idea of the scriptures, how when you read a particular scripture and you go, yes, this is for me. Have you ever had this experience? Have you had an experience where you found a passage of scripture? Maybe you saw it on Instagram. You're like, oh, this is in the Bible? Okay. And you look it up. And you go, this is me. This is me. Or this is the verse or the passage for the season of my life. Now, I have people in my life that post verses all over, everywhere. My wife is one of those. In the shower, we have verses. We have nothing about cleanliness or anything like that. It's just promises, just promises. There was a season where we just put up verses all over the place. In fact, there are verses buried and written all over this building and also at Metro. There are people who have prayed over you guys with passages of scripture. And there are some of you who've been praying for so long over a particular passage of scripture. And then others of you don't really find the value in the scriptures because you don't know how they really connect it to real life. And I know we have all kinds of people and all kinds of faiths here trying to figure out what this journey of faith looks like. But have you ever had a moment where you thought a passage was for you and it didn't come true? Like you just believed God for it and you're like, I don't believe that anymore. Like someone told you this is for you, and it didn't really, not that it didn't apply, it applied. You really wanted to work, but it didn't happen. There are great passages in the scriptures. Like there's one that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You're like, yes, I want that. I want that. Why? Because you're thinking with the end in mind, right? And he'll give me the desires of my heart. Hello. So I'm going to delight myself. And some of you have done that for so long and found where it doesn't really work for you. Let me ask you this. Have you ever found that the scriptures really don't work for you? That sometimes the scriptures, they've been promised, and you're like, "This is, but you promised this, and you promised this." And we sing songs about that, right? We sing songs, "God, you promised this, you promised this," and it doesn't happen. Well, let me share something with you that you might have never heard before, ever, in your journey as a Christian or a follower of Jesus. There are passages in the Bible that are not for you. They were never a promise to you. And I hate to be the guy who says this. Ugh, like me. But Jeremiah 29, it was not for you. It was not for you. Now, the character of God tells us that God does have plans for us, that he is for us. But let's put it in context. This passage was never for you. It was for people who lost everything and who were exiled to Babylon. This was a different kind of people. Some that we don't even, we have no idea the kinds of lives they lived. See, the truth is that there are some things that God will not do for me, but he'll do for us. There are some things that God will never work through me, but he'll work through us. There are some promises that are so particular, but they're not for me. Therefore, us. They only work for us, not me. There are miracles that God wants to do among us. He will never do for me. He will do only among us. The Western idea of taking the scriptures and making them so individualized and relevant to a particular person is one of the saddest things that we find that Christianity has done. And it has basically give birth to a very depressed people, because we have been promised that the promises of God, and we misapplied them. We've thought, "Oh, this is for me." It's not. It was for us. And unless you and me become us, we will never see those promises fulfilled. So, you need me. And guess what? I need you. And you don't even know the person sitting next to you, but you need him. And at some point, if we realize that the power of God and the knowledge of God and the miracles of God and even the insight of God happens when we gather together and when we become us, if we don't realize that, we will miss out and we'll live our lives going, these verses, these passages, these promises are empty because they don't work. But they were never for me. They were for us. Have you realized this? When he talks about scriptures, even this, he's saying, all of you, I'm going to do this for all of you. I'm going to do this for all of you. You see, religion, when it's at its best, right? It's obviously man-made. So what that means is you take a concept of Jesus, you take a concept of what Jesus has done and the teachings of Jesus, and then you have people who want to be in power, or the people who want to make maybe they're trying to help out, but they make a religion out of it. They add rules and regulations. And what they do is they take the scriptures, they take the concept of what God has done, and they say, okay, how can we control a particular person like this? And so religion is all about the person. It's about you versus God. It's about always you. It's like, what have you done? It's your sin. It's your problem. And so you have to feel guilty, and you're part of this, and you've got to do this. And it's your, quote-unquote, personal relationship with Jesus, which that concept, friends, did not exist for a very long time. Just want to let you guys know. Not that I don't believe in it. I believe that God's Holy Spirit has given us his spirit, and God speaks to me individually. But to realize the movement of Jesus, it has to move from us being about making it about us or me and making it about us. And if you're wondered why this counter is, this counter actually illustrates so well what values and views and actions of a life that's connected to this view that it's just about me. When it's just about me, I'm on a particular side of this counter. So if this is a counter, a serving counter, the person over here is the person who serves. And who says, I'm the server. I hand this to you. I serve you. And the person on this side of the counter is basically saying, you need to what? Serve me. You need to serve me. And somehow religion seems to be like the big idea seems to be, oh, it's about, you know, doing good and loving people, but for some crazy reason, it actually turns our lives into a place where it's not found here, where we're not really living our lives serving people. It's really about me and what I need. So even in church life, we know this. We are looking for a church. And then some of us are coming to a counter of a church and saying, hey, what can you do for me? What is the church here for me? What can you do? Is this a fit for me? And we don't even realize this, but we live our lives on this side of the counter, which basically says you need to serve me. And when you approach God and the throne of God even, or the people of God, you go, well, what can you do to serve me? I'm on this side of the counter. And we never realize that we actually need to be on this side of the counter. The question is when it comes to you building the life you want and the culture you want, which side of the counter are you living? And do you realize that it's not really about your needs, it's about people's needs, and it's on this side of the counter. This is when you actually have a view of, this is about us. But when you're here, you're in a line of people, and it's only about you. You can't help it, because it's about you. When you go to the counter, when I get my coffee, guess what? It's not about everybody else's order, it's about what? Mine. That's all I care about. That's what, because my position in life is always like this. And for some of us, our spirituality, our relationships, our values, our views, our actions are always on this side of the counter. We've lived our whole lives on this side of the counter. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. You don't want to say it, but that's what you live. It's serve me. Serve me. And we get so mad when people don't serve us. And sometimes when you find yourself in a church, you go, it's about me. And Jesus, when he starts talking about the scriptures and talks about God, it's about living on this side of the counter, which says, I'm here to serve. And when Jesus was asked, who's the greatest leader? The greatest leader, okay? And he said what? The one who serves the what? Most. He says, the one who serves the greatest among you is the leader. Is the greatest among you. I mean, he's the one. The person who has the most influence in life is actually standing on this side of the counter. The problem with me is I grew up as an immigrant. I came here to the States. I was trying to make it, and I was trying to basically establish myself. I had to, you know, I got religious asylum from the government. I had to take 3 jobs to finish college. I mean, there's a lot of hustle that I needed to do to get to where I was. I mean, that's just my life. And so honestly, it was about me. It was truly, truly about me. This is the life I kind of lived. I wanted to take whatever I wanted to take from whoever to fulfill my desires and my goals. I never thought of being on this side of the table where I'm actually serving others. And so success was what? Success was basically being on this side. Success is how many people report to you? How many people are taking care of your needs, right? The boss is the one who has the big title, has the one that has the most amount of money, and has the most amount of people doing his or her stuff. That's success. And when you come to Jesus, he flips it. He goes, well, success is actually being significant in someone else's life. Well, that stinks. Because you don't want to live like this. Because then it's about someone else's needs. And when you ask Jesus, what are you trying to do here? Why are you saying this? Because religion was about you and your holiness and your sin. And so it was about you. You're the center of it. Your sin is the center of it in one sense. And then Jesus comes around and says, actually, it's about humanity. It's about all of you. And one person finally just asked him the question. Luke 10. Let me say, read this to you. Luke 10, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Flat out. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? Now, if I were to ask you this, or if you were to talk to someone and answer this question in view of your relationship with God, if you were to ask a pastor this, teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? This is what Jesus said. What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, well, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus. And so, to clarify, who is what? Who's my neighbor now? And that is the beginning of the Samaritan story. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, and most of us know generally the big idea on that one. It started with this conversation. Jesus saying, I want you to understand your life, your eternal life, your quality of life exists on this side. You need to love someone else. You need to be on the other side of this counter. You need to serve the people around you. It is not about your life is too important. Your gifts, your talents are too important to be wasted just on you. You have to live on this side. No, you have to live on this side. You have to live on this side of it. And see, seasons of life, for example, pain. Pain causes you to be self-centered, right? Of course, you're in pain. And sometimes we live our lives on this side of the counter. It's okay. It's okay. There are seasons. We need people to help us. So we are here and people need to serve us. I get that. But then you move to, if you don't have pain in your life, maybe you have power in your life. Success, power. Man, it causes you to come on this side of the counter very, very easily. If you have power, it is so hard to get on the other side and to serve people. This is so, so hard. If you've lived with privilege in your life, okay, if you just were born with certain talents, if you're born with a certain race, if you're born in a certain country, you know, as you just get privilege. You just get it. And it's so hard to even know that you live on this side and not on this side just because you've lived like that. It is one of those things. And if you have pride in your life, that your value and your self-worth is connected to how many people are serving you, you and I will never get on this side of the counter. The problem is that when you're on this side of the counter, the scriptures actually make more sense and are more powerful. And they actually work for you. They don't work for you when you're on this side of the counter. They just don't. And so if you find yourself going, I don't know if I believe that anymore because I believe, it's about this side. It's about this side. When we receive communion here at Mosaic, it's about what we're saying is we're part of something bigger. We're part of the body of Christ. Body means we're part of a bigger community. When we light candles, what are we talking about? It's about other people, other people's needs. That's what we're saying. When we baptize people, it's baptism itself, friends, has become such about you and about the individual. It's actually not supposed to be. Baptism was basically a rite of passage to enter into community with other people. It was like, I have been baptized in this name, in this community. It was always about being a part of a bigger community. Why is this so important? It's so important because this is how the world will know that the message of Jesus is actually true. This is how the world will know. And if you and I fail to realize this, if you and I live on this side of the counter, as we as believers of Jesus live on this side of the counter, the world will always think that we are self-centered and it's all about us. But if we lived on this side, imagine if the church lived on this side of the counter from the day of Jesus. Our reputation would be so much different, wouldn't it? It would be radically different because people would think, oh, these people are not about themselves. They're about other people. They're about humanity. They're about serving, not condemning. They are about giving, not guilting. Man, they are for people. They're for humanity. They love everyone. They are servants of the community, of the city, of the world. The problem has been is that we have found ourselves stuck in our own religion, stuck in our own faith, stuck in our own thoughts, and we found ourselves in this side, always asking other people to serve us. Friends, if you're here, it doesn't make sense for you to walk in and go, okay, how can you meet my needs? Could you imagine if in your family or in your friends' groups, right, your social groups, if people were always self-centered, like what is it always about them? Could you imagine just having a team of people coming together and go, okay, we're all self-serving, we're all about ourselves. Could you imagine whose needs would get met? If everybody in the room was about their own needs, whose needs would get met? No one's. No one's. Unless someone started bullying people and figured out a way to control people. And that person's needs would get met. But if people walked in and everybody was on this side of the counter, every team member was about, I'm going to make sure your needs are met. I'm here to serve you. How many needs would be met? All of them. All of them. And that's what happens in church. People come in sometimes, they go, hey, what can the church do for me? Friends, the church is not here for you. You are the church, and you're here for the world. I mean, that's it. That's it. You're like, no. You know, that's it. You are the church, and you're here for the world. You know, I was recently at an event, and I didn't know the person who was hosting this event. So I walked in and set up for the event, and I found out later the event was fine, it was great, but I found out later that the person who was in a house, and the person who lived there, she did not know me. I didn't know her, but she had heard of me, and so she knew I was a pastor. But I didn't think anything of it, and we had a good conversation. It was a great night. And I found out later that she was really disturbed for part of the day because she walked out at some point and, you know, obviously I introduced myself and all that, and she happened to see my car. And my car, she saw a sticker, and so it really bothered her. And so she went in and talked to another person, didn't talk to me, but talked to another person and said, hey, so who is this guy? Because I'm telling you, I just saw a sticker that said, Muslim community or .tv. I don't know, basically thinking that I was not really a pastor or anything like that. And so this other person who knew me said, no, that's not true. He's a pastor. And she was like, no. So she actually made the other guy go back, go outside, look at my car. And there was a sticker. It's the Mosaic sticker with the Mosaic logo. And it says mosaicchurch.tv. And she thought, read it as muslimchurch.tv, I guess, or something like that. Which, by the way, you're all getting stickers today. And I thought, what? What? And then my wife reminded me, you know, what I look like. And I thought, oh. You know, I was reminded because I, you know, it's so funny. It's hilarious, isn't it? It's hilarious. Like other people have normal, like other pastors have normal pastor problems. I have to convince people I'm not Muslim. Like I'm like, you know, and the amount of people that I have to say I'm not a terrorist in disguise. Like I really, I'm good. And you know, especially when it's like the person who says, I'm not crazy, I'm not crazy. You're like, you're crazy. So I can't even be the guy. Can't even be the guy who says that. Why I mention this is because, well, one, you know, it's always fun to be reminded who you are. But how people see you. But the other is I just realized I need you guys. Like you are proof that I'm good. Seriously. So don't screw it up. Okay? And I was just—I had a flood of memories of conversations I've had with people, and when they go, "Oh, you're a pastor? Yeah, yeah." I go, "Mosaic Church." "Oh, mosque church? No, Mosaic, like Moses's church? No, tiles, art, bro. Okay." And then they go, "Who comes to your church? Like people like you? Like Pakistani ex-Muslims who were." Born and raised in Kuwait? And they go, and people said, oh, so normal people come? I'm like, first of all, they are not normal. That's for darn sure, right? Especially Metro. They're not normal. But yes, yes. I mean, I had this one Indian guy come up to me and he goes, hey, so white people come? I'm like, yes, white people come. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, what is going on? What's happening? Here's why I mentioned this. I need you. You are my reputation. More importantly, God needs you. He wants you. You are his reputation. In fact, let me read you this, and then I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And he keeps on going that we are his ambassadors. And he goes into a detail about why God chooses to use us and you. So, you are a reputation. All of this conversation is basically this. Is I want you to understand is that we're trying to change this message of Jesus that people have thought it was. In fact, we exist to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus. And I would want all of us to move from this side of the counter to the other side of the counter. From serve me, serve me, serve me to serving, serving, serving. So what does it look like? I'm going to talk to you about how you can serve here. Because the things we do here, the outreach programs we have in our community, the impact that we are making as new people are walking in, we are changing the game of what it looks like to be a part of a community. We have one of the highest number of people engaged in serving nationwide. It is staggering how many people serve here at Mosaic. But we want 100%. We are about 60 or 65% of people serve at Mosaic. We want 100%. Why? Because we have to live our lives telling the rest of the world we do not live to serve to get our needs met. We are here for them. We are here for the world. So I want to walk you through this, but can I just show you a video really quick? Here's what's going to happen. At Metro, Kristen Young is going to come up after this video and kind of go through the details. So Metro, I want you to know that we believe in you, and we're so glad that you're just getting started. And so this is the perfect time for you to get involved in your community, in your part of the city. And so let's watch this together, and we'll talk about what does it look like for us.
I'm Jeff Piles. I volunteer here at the Hope Center as a connection team leader. So the connection team, we do everything from the time you pull in until you enter the service. So from parking and greeters to cafe to ushers, we kind of cover all of that.
My name is Brian Mosley. I volunteer on the parking team and also after party. I have been coming to Mosaic for about 8 months now. I started off at North, the Hope Center, and then wound my way down to Metro.
Hi, I'm Sheba. I came to Charlotte like 2 years back, and I looked for a church, and Mosaic was right next to my apartment, so that's why I found this church. I love the community, and I love the volunteers and the support team here.
My wife and I have been volunteering here at Mosaic for since the theater, 12 years. I think Mosaic feels like you're a part of something more.
Hola, soy Johanna y me gusta Mosaic porque me ha dado la bienvenida como si estuviera en casa.
We are involved in overseeing the response team. That means we set up the communion and the candles. We also, Lynn especially, prays over the whole congregation, walks through all the chairs, praying for the people who will be sitting in them.
I volunteer in the toddler area, so every day I get to play with your kids, and it's fun because I'm a big kid at heart.
So as many people know, I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I served a year and a half overseas in Iraq, and just really got an opportunity to see what the Muslim culture was about. And so when friends told me that there was a pastor here preaching the gospel of Jesus who is an ex-Muslim, I just felt drawn to come and see what that's about. But what's really kept me here has been just all of the other pastors, all of the community that's here. It's really become a second home for my wife and myself, and it just is a place we can never imagine being without.
I love Mosaic because we've been here since almost the very beginning, and Mosaic's family. They're people that have been with us through all the things we've done in our lives, the great times, the bad times, and they're family. They're people that we love, and they love us in spite of all of our flaws, all of our issues. They love us just like that.
It's really the first place where I felt like it was okay to be vulnerable, and the community here is super awesome. It's a bunch of rock stars here. So it's just a really enjoyable environment, and I love it.
I love Mosaic because the second I showed up, my first service, I immediately felt like I was home. Everyone welcomed me. They invited me to join in. And the way I feel is the best way to know something is to get involved. So I joined a volunteer team. And every week, I look forward to coming and seeing my friends and family here at Mosaic. It's just an amazing experience. So that's what Mosaic is for me. It's a second home.
Amazing group of people, aren't they? You're part of them. So can we give them a hand? Yeah. So here's what I would love for you to do. You have one of these on your seats. You probably found one, got one. If you can grab one of these, here's what I would love for you to consider. I'd love for you to consider being a part of our community. If you've been coming for a little bit, this is the best way to just jump in and find out if this is like really legit, if you're thinking, but I just love it. I just love it. I don't want to ruin this. This is great for me, you know? I come in. I don't want to see the backside of this. I don't want to see what's behind the curtain. What's behind the curtain is actually more joy and more laughter and so much more family. And so I want you to experience that. So here's, if you would open this up, basically there you've got all the teams listed. Let me go through a couple. We need about 125 volunteers to sign up, 125. And so for M Kids, for example, we need 40. And so there are different breakdowns from like check-in, nursery, toddler, preschool, and also double stuff. Let me share what double stuff is. So if you're a volunteer and you're coming and serving here, your kids actually get to experience our programming, but then they actually go over to Bounce U, which is right next door. And they get to bounce for free. And so if you want to make your kids happy, that's easy. Brownie points for them. But then we have underground with our youth, so you can serve at that as a group leader. We have connections. We need about 45 under connections. So it's ushers, greeters, parking people, security, the tithe team if you like counting and you like money. You can't take any for yourself. Just want to make sure you know that. And if you're wondering, well, but how do you count the tithe? Because you guys don't even pass the plate. Yeah, we don't pass the plate, we don't, but there are boxes all over that people give to and actually give online as well, and so we value that. That's a huge commitment, but we'd love for you to join the team. You got cafe, security. I think it's really fun to actually just start volunteering. If you're wondering, like, hey, I just want something like to just start with. I'm not quite sure. I have kind of bad church history. I would get the connections team first. All of these groups, if you sign up for one, will help you and place you where you want to be. We just do it differently at Mosaic. We really want you to use your gifts and talents. We don't want you to put you in a place where you just, oh, I'm for serving for Jesus. It stinks, but I'm going to do this for Jesus. No. This is going to be the most fun day for you as you come and be a part. There's worship arts. You can sign up for that. It's production. And so if you like lights, camera, action, that kind of scenario, obviously we do live stream. There's a lot of technology that goes in connecting to a different campus. And so there's a lot of complicated but fun things. And so if you're into that, we'd love for you to have, we need about 36 people for that. So about 25 or 125 leaders, people who want to serve. If you already do serve, you know this, okay? But if you have not and you're thinking of signing up, let me tell you what you're signing up for. Basically, you are signing up to volunteer one service every other week. So you volunteer every other week, so twice a month, and you sign up for about 6 months. So you serve about 12 times in 6 months. How many times? 12 times. That's it. So we've really figured out a way to make it very, not just easy, but make it really fun for people and not it be a burden to anyone, especially your family. So we want 100% of people serving. And you're thinking, I don't know, man. I'm not quite sure. Hey, listen, we're not going to hunt you down if you say yes today and something comes up. That's not our deal. We truly believe that you're going to be cared for the most if you're a part of us. You know, there are two kinds of people at Mosaic, and I talk about this if you've gone to the after party, our newcomers thing. There are two kinds of people. One, the people we count, because we count everybody. And then there are people we count on. And so there are so many people that we count on, and in fact, you count on as well. If you've ever come in just, you're like, I just need that coffee. You're counting on people to make that happen for you. And so just imagine, what if 100% of us, man, we would change. I mean, it would be unheard of in church communities if 100% of people served. So it's very easy to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this out. I want everybody to fill one of these out. And if you've already been serving or you are on a team, do it as well. We just want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. We want to update our records. So we're going to give you a couple of minutes to do this. So all you need to do is flip it to the end. It says new volunteer information and fill this out. We'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. And then we'll sing a song and we'll be dismissed. Hey, I want to say thank you in advance. One, for some of you who are going to step out in faith and do this because it's like a little scary for you. And others of you who are going to step out of your pain and actually serve. And you're going to step out in whatever you're in and just take the position of serving people. And I'm telling you, your joy is found in that. And you get closer to the heart of Jesus as we serve our neighbor, as we do this together. So let me pray for us, and you can fill it out. We'll give you some time, and then we'll sing a song. Lord God, we thank you so much for who you are, what you're doing. God, I thank you for today. I pray that you would lead us, guide us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.